What's up, everybody? It's Carter Slate. Today, we have a real, I would say it's a real controversial podcast. It's a real open-ended podcast, but it's also one that can stir a lot of conversations, which is what I like to do with my podcast. I like to stir conversations. I like to get people to give me their feedback and give me their opinion and share knowledge with me that I may not be aware of, you know. But today's podcast is going to be called Understanding Evil. Now, the reason why this is the podcast is because ever since I was a little kid, I've been understanding about good and evil. I knew good existed. I knew evil existed. I knew where good came from. God, of course, you know, in the Christian Bible. I grew up in the churches. My grandmother, she has her PhD in theology. She has her own church. So I grew up in church, and I grew up understanding good and God and being righteous and being holy so you can go to heaven. However, I did not understand being evil. And the older that I got, it's not that I want to be evil. It's just that I want to understand it, because what is anything if you don't truly understand it, you know? So let's hop right into it. Now, to start this podcast, we are going to start with the question of what is evil? What is evil? Where did it come from? Where is the origins of evil? Now, let's look at the first question. What is evil? And to me personally, just breaking down this question and being able to even answer it, I feel like we have to break down the word is, because what is? You know, is means to be. So if you're asking what is evil, if you're asking me, if we break it down, we're asking what is to be evil rather than what is evil itself. We're asking what is to be evil, because is to be, you know? Now, according to the Christian philosophers Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine, they broke evil down in two words, two Latin words. And those two words were negatio and privatio, which are both Latin words once again. But if you translate those words to English words, negatio translates to negation. Privatio translates to privation. Now let's break down those two words. Now, what is negation? Negation in philosophy and theology, It is something that's not. So if we're looking at something that's good, we're saying the negation of that is not good or ungood, if that makes sense. Now, in philosophy and theology, one of the most important ways to define something that is mysterious is to use this method called the way of negation. And the way of negation is something that is not. So if we say God is infinite, the way of negation says God is not finite. So if God is infinite, he's not this finite reality. He's an infinite reality. If we say something is godly, the way of negation would say, well, if it's ungodly or not the way of God, it's ungodly, which is what the way of negation suggests. So if you to understand something that's mysterious, you go with something that you understand. So if you understand God is good, something that is evil would be ungodly, which is what they use in Christianity, or something that they use in, even they use that in regular life. It's not what it was. It's a preconceived notion of something that was. So you have to have a pre-context of one word in order to understand the next word. So if something is bad, it's bad because it's not good. You get it? You know, you like this? Okay, so now let's look in more. So that was negation. Negation, once again, is something that's not. So if something is godly, then the way of negation suggests that something is ungodly, because we don't know what something that is ungodly is. We just know what godly is. So if it's not godly, it's ungodly. You get it? So now let's look at the word privation. Privation means, once again, it comes from the Latin word privado, and translates to privation in English, and it means to lack something or an inefficiency of something. So you can lack blood cells. You can have a privation of blood cells because you lack blood cells, you know, so you lack something. Now, still look at the word privation, but in all the context, we're looking at privation in the word evil. Now, when you're looking at evil, and you have to mention evil, you have to realize that evil comes from sin. You can't have evil without having sin, and vice versa. You can't have sin without it being evil, because it's ungodly or unrighteous. Now, if you look at the word sin, you will see that sin is any act or want or transgression of the law of God. So it's anything outside of what God intends for you, or anything outside of what God has for you to do. So any sinning is don't commit adultery. That's a sin, because God wants you to stay with one partner. However, if you get outside of that and you do have another partner, that is a sin, because it's outside of what God wants you to do, you know? Now, continuing on, we have, so if sin and evil are negations, which are something that is not, if sin and evil is something that is not good, then you have to come down to the fact that evil itself, going back to the evil word, is not a being. It's not itself. It's not an independent status. So it's not a thing. And because it's not independent of itself and is dependent on a independent being, which is, because you have to be in order to be evil. In order to do evil or say evil or speak evil, you have to be, you know. So evil isn't itself without a host. It's like a parasite. It's not itself without a host. A parasite is not conscious of itself outside of having a host. So a cancer is not a cancer if it doesn't have a body to inhabit and be cancerous too, you know. So with that being said, that's why me personally, I'm coming to the conclusion that evil is a mindset. It's an illusion. It's something that humans have created over the years to define something that is not righteous or something that is not godly. Now, going back to the privation word, the privado, because people say, well, how can evil, this is a question I've been asked, how can evil not be a thing when you have to be, when it starts, which is what, there's a Latin word for that called the actuoso. And the actuoso is another Latin word which means to activate. So it's an activated privation. It's an activated lack. So you have to activate something. Something activates itself to cause your desire to not be godly. Something activates itself within you to cause your desire to not be righteous. You know, which is what the actuoso is. It's an activated privation. It's an activated lack of something, or activated privation, you know. So with that being said, And because real beings act out real evil through, because real beings, like, we act evil, some people ask me, say, like, because we act evil, how can evil not be a thing? You know, which is why actually is evil real? You know, because we ourselves, we have to act evil for evil to even be observed. You can't observe evil without a person. Just like you can't observe light, you can't observe darkness without light, or vice versa. You can't observe darkness, a light without darkness, because it's the darkness that helps you be aware of the light. It's the being that helps you be aware of the evil, you know. So moving forward, now we have to understand evil. And the first encounter that I've had with evil or sin was with Adam and Eve, when Adam bit the apple after God told him not to bite the apple, and he was in the Garden of Eden, and a serpent came and tempted Eve to bite the apple, and Eve told Adam to bite the apple, and it steered the whole, that was the course of history. That was a big part of the course of the history that we have right now. But first, where did the desire come from? The desire to even be evil, the desire to even act ungodly. Because if God told Adam to not eat the apple, where did the desire come from for Adam to eat the apple? Or where did the desire come from to even question what God had stated, or what God told you not to do? Where did the desire, where did the privation come from? Where did the actuoso come from? Or what started, you know? And then we have the serpent, which the Bible, it doesn't say the serpent was necessarily Lucifer. However, it says it was a crafty animal. Now, but the crafty animal is what steered Eve into biting the apple, you know? And because a lot of historians and a lot of people and a lot of everybody says that the serpent was Lucifer, and he started the motions of evil and sin onto the earth. Now we have to look at Lucifer himself. Because in order to understand evil and its origins, we have to track back into what we understand. And we understand that the world was good when Adam and Eve at first, until they bit the apple, until activated privation caused them to steer away from what God told them to do, which is bite the apple. So something activated in them and told them not to bite the apple. I mean, told them to bite the apple. While God said, don't bite the apple, don't eat the apple, don't eat from this tree of knowledge. Now we know, so if Lucifer started the chain reaction of sin, where did the privation, where did the actuoso come from Lucifer to disobey a godly command? And looking back at, you know, doing research on Lucifer and getting an understanding of him, it starts, he was the most beautiful, perfect angel. He was a perfect angel. And it even says in Ezekiel, in the Bible, in Ezekiel 28, chapter 28, verse 15, it says, thou was perfect in the ways from the day thou was created. So it's saying that Lucifer was a perfect being from the day he was created. So what actuoso can cause a perfect being with perfectly good will and a perfectly good heart to experience an imperfect impulse that will cause him to make a direct sin? You know, what would steer a perfect being in the direction of sin if they're perfect? If they're perfect. Perfect means perfect. And growing up in church, I was aware that Jesus was perfect. So looking at it, it's like, why would Jesus, what would cause Jesus to sin. Because the Bible does say Lucifer was a perfect angel, an angelic being. He was a perfect angel, the most handsome angel, and God's first favorite creation. He was God's first favorite creation. He was perfect. So why can something, once again, perfectly good, perfectly, a perfect heart, a perfect being, what would steer them to do something that's imperfect? You know? And it's kind of, it's a mystery in itself. It's like, it's a lot of people come, I've had this conversation with people and they say, well, God gave him free will, just like he gives us free will. And it's like, to me, free will, it's not a thing. It's a title. It's like a, it's something that, it's like a mystery name, because it's like, well, if he's perfect and he has free will, wouldn't his free will only allow him to do perfect things because he's perfect? You know, and that's something that, you know, kind of confused me. So, me personally, I know God is perfect. According to the Bible, he is sovereign, which means nothing can come to pass without his, nothing can happen without his stamp on it. No bill, if we're looking at like the government, no bill, no law can get passed without his approval, or, you know, things like that. So if God is perfect and nothing, if he is sovereign and nothing can come to pass without his approval, why evil, you know? So, and because God is sovereign and nothing can go past without his approval, does that mean he can cause these things directly or indirectly? He can cause sin indirectly, or he can cause someone to sin directly or indirectly? You know, because also according to the Bible, it says God is sinless, meaning he does not sin. And everybody that does sin, he has accountability of it, of the moral accountability of like people who do sin. So if God is sinless, and the sin of things that comes about, like the moral accountability of the people who do sins, all come through God, and he is sovereign and he knows all, where is this coming from? Because God, he's sovereign, he's omnipotent, he is the beginning and the last, he knows everything. So how can something so perfectly and omnipotent and sovereign allow or let something not godly or righteous, how can he be accountable for that and still remain sinless? Because once again, nothing can happen without the Almighty God. So if God is the Almighty and nothing can happen without God, how is sin still vast and still worldwide now? If he is the sovereign one who sin, who everything comes before, he sees everything before it happens, you know? And once again, I'm really like intoxicated right now, so I'm kind of like not, I'm trying real hard to explain what I'm trying to say. But if God is, if he knows all and sees all and creates all, how is sin still transgressing and still eating its way at the world? And unless he directly or indirectly caused that. But once again, he's sinless. So how can he still remain sinless as well as indirectly or directly cause sin to transpire, you know? Now, going further, we have three questions. And to me, these are three big questions, which is, if God is all powerful and has the power to create a universe without sin, or if God has the power to of the universe to get rid of all the evil, but he doesn't, does that mean he is not good, or that means he is not all powerful or loving? Right? Because it's like, he is the omnipotent one. He is the amazing, awesome, great one. Trust me, I'm not dissing God. I'm just questioning something that transpired in a perfect universe that God created. You know, if God created a perfect universe, because he is perfect, and out of perfect, if you're perfect, you can't create anything imperfect. From my knowledge, good can't create bad. You know, two bad things can't create good. Two good things can't create bad. So if God is all good, all powerful, all loving, and he created a all good, all powerful universe, how is evil steady progressing? You know? And then another question is that, if God is all good and loving, but can't stop the evil that's going on, does that make him not all powerful? Does that make him not all knowing, or all, you know, all the highest of the highest? You know, and I'm not dissing God. It's just a question, you know. And if you listen to this whole podcast, you'll understand where I'm coming from. I'm just breaking down what is. I'm using negations. I'm trying to say, all right, well, if that is what is, how can something be not what it is, you know? And a third argument I've heard is, well, God, he gave us free will, so he let us do what he wants to, what we want to do. So does that mean God doesn't care? Like, me personally, I'm confused. I'm not going to say I understand. I'm not going to say I'm the smartest or I'm not the brightest, but I'm kind of confused. Because how can evil, if God knew Adam somehow was going to get down to biting the apple, and if God knew somehow Lucifer was going to try to overthrow him before he even created either or, because he already knew it before they even existed. God was there before anything existed. So if God knew that Lucifer was going to overthrow him, well, try to overthrow him, I'm sorry, once again, sorry. If God knew Lucifer was going to try to be God and try to overthrow God, why still create him? Unless you are directly or indirectly pushing a agenda. And it's just like God in Jesus. When Jesus came to earth, God knew Jesus was going to get crucified, and he knew he was going to die, and he knew he was going to get beaten, all that stuff. And that was sinful. All that was sinful. You know, getting murdering Jesus, it was real sinful. You know, according to Psalms in the New Testament, the murder of Jesus was sinful. But God planned it. Every detail he had planned out already. And he knew that the people were going to be sinful in murdering Jesus, and people were going to rebel Jesus. But he still allowed, he still created Jesus and still allowed him to get murdered. Now, a lot of people say, well, he did that so that people can be free of their sins. But if he is all powerful and omnipotent and all seeing and all knowing and all great, couldn't he just have washed sins out without having to have a sinful event go on? So sinful and so tragic, such a tragedy that we still talk about it in 2019. And this happened thousands of years ago, you know? If God is all knowing and all powerful, how can a lot of things transpire? To me, you know, it seems as though evil is a mindset, once again. And if God is allowing all that to transpire, does that mean any of that is evil? does that mean any of that is unrighteous or ungodly? Because God is allowing that to happen, and that is God allowing it. So how can it be ungodly if God is allowing it to happen? You know, and once again, I'm not saying I know all the answers, because I don't. I really don't know a lot of answers. However, I can look at certain things and say, but I thought this was not supposed to happen. You know, and if you have any like intel or insight of what I'm saying, or if you can help me even elaborate more on what I'm saying, just let me know. Message me, share this, and share this to your friends, and let them know, because I'm kind of confused myself, and I don't really know. I'm not perfect. I'm not omnipotent. I'm not godly, or I'm not, you know, I'm not any of those things that God is. However, being a human and having to deal with evil and having to deal with a lot of this stuff that's going on, I can question it, because I got to deal with it. I got to wake up every day to somebody getting shot by the police, or I got to wake up every day to a world event going on that could have been stopped from a perfectly good, loving God could stop the BP oil spill. You know, a perfectly good and loving God could stop the Flint, Michigan water crisis. A perfectly good, loving God could have stopped Katrina, or stopped 9/11 from happening, or stopped the Hiroshima bombs from going off, or stopped World War II, or stopped World War I, or the Civil War, or any, or the Vietnam War, this ISIS blowing up the Boston Marathon bombing. A perfectly good, loving God would stop that, right? Because he is omnipotent. He is the creator. Nothing transpires without him. So if things are transpiring, does that mean he is, once again, directly or indirectly causing those things to happen? Which means, is he the reason for a lot of this so-called evil that's going on the earth? Is he the reason why Lucifer is considered Satan? Is he the reason why Lucifer even tried to rebel? Because once again, Lucifer was a perfect angel. He was a perfect being. He was God's favorite being, God's favorite creation. You know, and something happened where a perfect good being with a good heart, with great perfect intentions. I'm saying good, but it was perfect. A perfect being with a perfect heart, with perfect intentions, went in the direction of imperfection. So, you know, once again, I can elaborate more on that, but just feel free to let me know, because I'm kind of confused. I'm really like in deep thought with this one, and I really don't know. So maybe we have some scholars out there on social media land, or some reverends, or people who are really into the church or anything like that, that can explain it. Because once again, if you heard the whole podcast, you will see that I'm not just speaking off intuition. I'm speaking off knowledge. I'm speaking off research. I'm speaking off understanding words, and understanding certain words, and understanding sentence, the using the words in sentence, you know. So once again, just let me know how y'all feel. I'm Carter Slade. I love y'all so much. Shout out First Class Records. Shout out Scotty P. Shout out Scott Fresh. Tyree, I love you so much. Y'all be smooth.